Good morning, Chelveston, Caldecott, and Chelston Rise. It's Wednesday, the 27th of May, and this is Vladimir Putin with the Daily Podcast. Well, lots of feedback came in again yesterday about the musings from a not-so-humble grasscutter. Pat Alban listened to my previous life and wondered whether I was in fact the Dominic Cummings of my day. Well, I might look like that, Pat, but it's definitely not me. Dominic Cummings is a spad. No, that's not an insult, it's a job title. He is a politically appointed special advisor, and I would never have taken a political appointment. I was usually contracted by civil servants as an anti-SPAD missile. You see, civil servants are duty-bound to serve the government of the day. The comedies Yes Minister and Yes Prime Minister were called that for a reason. A civil servant can argue a case, but ultimately they must say yes if a minister decrees it, unless it's against the law. So people like me, and there were many of us, were bought in when the answer should be no. So I had lots of battles with SPADs. They would threaten to sack me, but they couldn't because I wasn't employed by them or their minister. They would then tell me I would never work in government again, which was brilliant. First of all, they got no powers to say this. And secondly, when word got round that you'd beaten a SPAD, people would be queuing at your door for your services, all ready for the next row. Pete Rawlin suggested I should actually be called Vladimir Putin, which is much closer to the mark. You see, sometimes if a project was particularly problematic, my colleagues and I would be appointed to take over. Our brief would be to get things back on track or kill the beast quickly. We'd start by suspending all the committees that were running the project. And there's a clue, by the way, who ever heard of a committee running a project? We'd then have a Star Chamber Inquisition process. All the key officials would be interrogated by a group of industry experts. They had to work without advisers and without notes. And if they could survive 2 hours interrogation, then we knew that their part of the project was probably sound. If they failed, they were sent away to be rebriefed. And if it was a close call, one of us would call them up and work with them to sort it out. They would then come back for a second interrogation. If they failed, well, there wasn't a third chance. I would press the red button, the floor would open up, and they'd fall into a pit of alligators to be eaten. Okay, the last bit's wishful thinking, but it would have been so much easier than the HR processes we had to follow to sack the people who'd failed. Dave Pannell wondered why he couldn't just send the virus passport ideas directly into government. The problem is, Dave, that I've oversimplified things slightly, and the vested interest would leap on the obvious problems and sink the plan. Their reputations are at stake, you see, so they need to protect themselves. A focus on developing rigorous testing should have been in place months ago, and it'll be harder to implement each day that goes by. Testing has always been the key, in the various forms, even before the technology was available. But the government abandoned the emphasis on testing in week 3. And that was the time when all of the national resources should have been focused on developing innovative, rapid testing regimes. Instead, the brightest minds in the country were focused on building novel ventilators and building Nightingale hospitals, both of which were actually admissions of our policy failures. We were trying to solve the symptoms and not the cause. Ask yourself how many Nightingale beds were used and how many ventilators saw action. The logistics of producing and administering 60 million tests a week are huge, but they're not insoluble. But first, we need a plan to target our testing capability where it makes the biggest difference. Then we can build capacity and expand the testing to everyone. I do still have contacts and many anonymous NHS sources. One of these sources has told me that frontline staff are now being tested at last, but only weekly. Well, that's at least a start. Unfortunately, some of these tests aren't actually returned for 2 weeks. It seems to take that long for the administrative wheels to turn. So these frontline workers continue to work for 2 weeks with vulnerable patients before they discover if they're COVID-19 positive. So I say it again, who thought that one through? What I don't understand is how one of our village families was given the all clear less than 72 hours after sending a swab in to be tested, and this included the postal delay. So it would be much quicker for our NHS staff to fake symptoms on the COVID Joe app. Then they would be sent a test as a priority and the results would be expedited. I have to say, the lunatics really have taken over the asylum. Now, I'd be happy with baby steps towards universal testing. We need to get the dentists, the podiatrists and clinic nurses back to work quickly. So let's start there. then perhaps teachers and transport and supermarket workers, and then we can expand to hairdressers, beauticians and so on. But the longer we delay, the longer our vulnerable stay locked up. In Wuhan, China, a new cluster of cases has recently emerged when they thought they were virus-free. And the authorities have undertaken to test all 11 million residents in 10 days. Now, they are falling behind at the moment, but they're learning very quickly as they understand the importance of chasing down every last infection. This is a clear signpost from the people who had it earlier than us that regular testing is the key, and we must gear up for it. You can't fight an enemy you can't see. It might be impossible today, but that's what bold goals are for, to solve the biggest problems. Imagine a test kit that was as simple to use as a pregnancy testing kit, or the kits used by diabetics several times a day. Years ago, both of these tests would have taken a couple of weeks to come through with results. Now it's minutes. So surely that is a target for urgent research that should have started 3 months ago. Now, the good news is that in some laboratory somewhere, there's probably an entrepreneurial scientist working on this no-brainer idea. But then the big challenge is to create the policy framework where this answer is welcomed when it arrives. That needs a powerful, aspirational statement for the Prime Minister to set the right direction. Churchill said, "We shall fight them on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender." And we did all this and we won. It's no different now. We must hunt down this virus wherever it is and eradicate it. Living with this virus is simply not an option. This must be our long-term goal so that our vulnerable people can be once more free to resume their lives without fear. Thank you.